But actually, a junk drawer, a closet, or a spare room is where we so haphazardly throw things, becoming cluttered. And if you're not careful, they'll overwhelm you after a while. And it's amazing when you do make up your mind to clean out that drawer, clean out that closet, or to clean out that room, you find stuff you never knew you had. Where did that come from? You had stuff you found that was valuable you didn't even know you had because it had become so cluttered. Now listen, if our lives seem cluttered, let us learn from the life of Solomon, whose life had come to the point we see in the Scripture here of clutter. Roman numeral number 1, characteristics of the cluttered life. I want to give you 3 things that will identify a cluttered life. Letter A would be busyness. Chapter 2, look at verse number 4. I made me great works, I buildeth me houses, I planted me vineyards. The very first characteristic, friends, of a cluttered life is extreme busyness and activity. Never having time to do the things you know you really should be doing, but finding yourself in this rush of activity and busyness of things that the world and you together have got caught up in. Now, activity is not wrong. Don't misunderstand me. But when our activity results in neglected relationships with our spouse, with our kids, with our family, and with our friends, and with our church, and with our God, it is wrong. Is anybody going to say amen to that? Am I the only one that believes that tonight? Now, I'm not mean, I'm not mad, and I'm not shooting nobody. I'm just preaching what God gave me, amen? So just relax. I'm not aiming at your foot. I might be aiming at your heart, but not your foot. Unfortunately, people who are constantly busy think they've never done enough. Have you ever had someone like that? They're so busy you don't know how to get everything done, and they're always thinking they've never done enough. Now, Solomon was busy here in these verses. In verse 3, he searcheth. In verses 4, 5, and 6, he made. In verse number 4, he built. In verse number 4 and 5, he planted. In verse number 7, he acquired. In verse number 8, he gathered. I mean, tell you, this guy was busy. Now, and in the midst of all life, my friends, was becoming cluttered. In the midst of life, everything was becoming cluttered because he was so busy. Living with the idea of the busier the better is simply not true. And the busier you get, the more you and I are capable of neglecting the most important things in life. People are busy trying to gain, get more, get ahead. And the more we gain, the more we spend, and the more toys we want. Reminds me of a rather rich man that died years ago, and he had servants, and he was going to have his viewing. He wanted it done in his big home and all the pillars and all that down south, and he was getting ready for the viewing, and the maid, the butler, was in there working and getting everything just right, and the maid said to the butler, "How much do you suppose he left?" The butler scratched his head and said, "I expect he left it all." And folks, that's what we leave when we leave this life, in the matter of things. You know, most of the things that we work so hard for, sacrifice for, go in debt so deep for, and work 2 jobs for, work overtime for, work Sundays and skip church for, we don't even take with us. If it don't wear out, somebody else will get it. Well, the first sign of a cluttered life is busyness. Now, the second sign is a continued pursuit of gain. That'd be letter B, a continued pursuit of gain. There in chapter 2, look at verse number 7. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of kings and of the provinces. I gathered me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. The cluttered life, friends, is always consumed with the pursuit of gaining more and more. It's like the philosophy, I want to get all I can all that I get. You think about that for a minute, it might come to you. You know, we like to think that if we can gain, then we can justify our busyness. Solomon gained houses and vineyards. He gained gardens and orchards. He gained silver, gold, and special treasures. He gained singers and musical instruments. He gained so much that, according to verse 9 that I read to you, he was greater than all before him. I mean, he gained so much, was so rich and so such a wonderful position, appearance-wise, that he had. He had gained more than all that was before him. Now, I understand, and I've not forgotten, that Solomon asked God for wisdom in ruling the nation Israel, and because he did not ask for things, God gave him things. But I think you can also see here in the Scripture where things got him after a while. And I'll prove that to you here as we go along. J.D. Rockefeller, years ago, was asked how much it would take to really satisfy him. Do you know what his answer was? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. And I don't care, friends, when your life is out of control, you're living a cluttered life, and gain is on your mind, every time you get a little bit more, guess what you want? A little bit more. A little bit more. It's like a fire, my friends. It cannot be quenched. It's like a fire that cannot be quenched. And it goes on and on and on and on. Now, we see, number three, the sign, characteristic of a cluttered life. Number three, or letter C, is out of control. Look at verse number 10. And whatsoever my eyes desire, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. We see here he's literally out of control. Whatever his eye saw and he wanted, he got it. Just that simple. He had the ability to fulfill every desire of his eye, every desire of his heart. Listen, when busyness leads to being more busy and gaining leads to just a little bit more, we are out of control. And perhaps the greatest of these characteristics, this may be the greatest of characteristics when we find ourselves out of control and getting and gaining and pursuing the gain. And don't know even that it has a hold of us and even refuse to admit it. I've seen people bit with this and they'd even deny it. Not only deny it, but they wouldn't even honestly admit it to themselves that they were out of control. Their life was cluttered and they were caught up in the gaining and the getting. The end result of our busyness and need to gain is not what motivates us. We cannot be still. We must always be doing and gaining. No matter what we have, it's never enough, and there's no discipline at all in a cluttered life. There's no discipline. A person who lives a cluttered life, my friends, is literally out of control. Roman numeral number 2. I want us to look at the consequences of the cluttered life. Look at verse number 11, please, in chapter number 2. This is the end result of a cluttered life. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was, what's the next word? vanity and vexation of the Spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Friends, many consequences come from living a cluttered life. There's many different consequences that come, and the biggest consequence is loss. A loss in your spiritual life. A loss in your physical life. A loss in your emotional life as well. Destruction will come. Now, it may take years, but mark it down, it will come. You cannot neglect your family. You cannot neglect, my friends, your God and get by with it forever. I'm telling you, the drum is playing and judgment is coming. It really is, and you need to remember that and think about that and determine in your heart that you'll not be caught up in this matter of a cluttered life. That's the philosophy of this world. That's the philosophy of our society. Get all you can and continue to get. You're not successful until you have everything you ever wanted. That's the philosophy of this world. But let me tell you, my friends, that's far from the will of God for your life and my life. For those who live by the theory of burning the candle at both ends, I thought about this when I put this down. Years ago, when I was first in ministry, I don't remember where I got it out, but I bought vitamins that the box had a picture of a candle lit at both ends. And that's kind of how busy I thought I was. And that's the kind of vitamins I use. But I can tell you about burning the candle at both ends. The end result is you run out of wick and wax twice as quick as anyone else does. That's certainly true. Never pays to burn the candle, my friends, at both ends. Solomon speaks of a great consequence, the consequence of life becoming meaningless. Here in verse number 11, he's literally saying that all that he's done amounts to nothing now. He sees it's nothing. It's vanity, vexation of the Spirit. And that word vanity means emptiness, vain or unsatisfactory. Now the work God has given us to allow us to achieve becomes meaningless when we're caught up into the cluttered life. It will not satisfy you. You may think it will. When you gain the next level, you think it will, but it does not. It does not satisfy. It only draws you in deeper in that vicious, vicious cycle. All our possessions God has given us to enjoy become empty with no meaning in them. Our relationships fail us. Nothing is the same. How many of you ever really, and I'm raising my hand here too, how many of you ever really worked hard and slaved and sacrificed to get something you really wanted? And after you had it just a short time, it meant absolutely nothing to you. How many's done that? Just about everybody here, haven't we? And that's what I'm talking about, amen? And we're to learn from those things and not allow ourselves to get caught up in that cycle of the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. My heart goes out to these people that are losing their homes. A lot of them are losing their homes. They really are. And I'm not here to judge why. But I'll tell you what, you can buy boats and motorcycles and campers really cheap right now. And a lot of other things as well, very cheap. Just on Route 20, there's like three or four between Clyde and the other side of Fremont, three or four campers for sale, you know. And now, is something wrong with a camper? Of course not. There's nothing wrong with a camper. But when you're caught up into a cluttered life and begin to collect things because of that, certainly it is wrong. For those who choose to remain in the cluttered life, there is a high price coming, my friends. A great consequence is the price you will pay. A price tag of meaninglessness. You'll pay a price for what Solomon said here meant nothing to him when he come to his senses here. It is so fruitless, it's like trying to catch the wind. Can't do it. In a way you can catch the wind. That's how fruitless it is to live a cluttered life. Now, Roman numeral number 3, let me talk about the cause of the cluttered life. The cause of the cluttered life. The cause behind the cluttered life resides, my friends, in the heart. That's where it resides, in the heart. A heart that has pushed God aside and has placed self on the throne. A heart is filled with selfishness. My heart is selfish. I struggle to get myself off the throne all the time. I struggle to allow Him to have first place in my life. It's a battle. Did not Apostle Paul says he died daily? Hello? You with me? The Apostle Paul says, I die daily. It's a struggle every day. And my goodness, what a outstanding missionary and soul winner he was. And he struggled every day. Don't you imagine we struggle every day as well? Solomon in this passage uses the pronouns I in these 11 verses 26 times. Me, mine, and myself 24 times. Wow, that's 50 times reference to himself. Reference to himself. The fruit of the Spirit, self-control through the Spirit, is no longer existent, but self has taken control. There is a truth. Boy, write this down. Here's the truth. The cluttered life leaves no room for God. The cluttered life, there it is, leaves no room for God. A cluttered life will tip God when they come to church. Hello? Oh, it's quiet tonight. What tell you? Lord must give me the right thing to preach. God is pushed out of His rightful place. The cluttered life leaves no room for God. And there are many religious people who go to church Sunday after Sunday, but still make no room for God. The cluttered life literally has smothered God out. Have we smothered God out of our lives tonight? As I have preached this, have you come to the point of realization the Holy Spirit is convicting you that some of your life fits what that preacher is preaching about? Have we smothered God out of our lives with busyness, with gaining the world but losing our soul? Is God and His Son just another aspect of our cluttered world? Is He in a drawer someplace? A closet? Or a room? Has He been relegated out the back door someplace? Be careful, my friends. God looks at the heart. He knows whether He has been pushed aside with all the other clutter in our lives. Now, let's get more positive here. Roman numeral number 4. I want to talk about the cure for the cluttered life. Let me talk about the cure for the cluttered life. The cluttered life does not have to be. Amen? Well, I'll tell you what now. Sister Carol and I can preach this message tonight. The cluttered life does not have to be. Still didn't work. Yeah. Amen, preacher. That's right. That's right. All right. Maybe we ought to play one of Pastor Lewis' tapes and just I'll go home. How's that? Amen? Okay. Well, give me a reason to stand behind the pulpit here then. The cluttered life does not have to be cluttered. Like the drawer or the chest or the closet, we need simply to begin to clean and straighten our life up. And I've got an advice of a threefold way to cure the cluttered life. The very first thing we need is solitude. We need for everybody to shut up. We need to get us someplace alone and quiet so we can hear the still, soft voice of our God. We just literally need solitude. We must begin to guard our hearts with times of solitude. I love people. I love being around people. And I don't get fed up with being around people. I learned not to do that. But every once in a great while, I need to be alone. I need to just get off someplace alone a little bit. Take a ride, turn the radio off, and just commune with God. You know, we all need that. We really do. We have to get away from the noise, the distractions, the interruptions to hear the voice of God. We need to learn that old saying I heard years ago, if you don't come apart, you'll come apart. If you don't come apart, you'll come apart. Now you'll figure that out later as well. God says in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. There's times when we need solitude in our lives. The third one, or the second one, I mean, letter B, stewardship. The second cure for the cluttered life is stewardship. Now, most of you right now think I'm going to talk about money, and I'm not going to talk a thing about money. We must come to the understanding of stewardship because it far outweighs money and the tithe. The world wants us to believe that we own everything. Have you ever went to somebody's house and they were so proud of their house and what all they've done, they showed you all the way through it and through every doorway their head got bigger. They were so proud of what they have done and what is mine and what I have. Now I rejoice if you're able to do that. Just don't let it go to your head. After all, it's not yours. It's on loan from God. Amen? Mom and Dad at one time owned 120 acres. Then it was 80 acres. And when we're all gone, it's somebody else's. Amen? I mean, it don't go with you. It's still down there. Amen? But the truth is, literally, God owns it all. And in actuality, if you're saved, you and I are stewards. And a steward is someone who is placed in charge of what belongs to somebody else. So we need to always, my friends, keep that in mind. You see, we are managers. We're stewards. We may possess much, but in actuality, we own nothing. When we come to this understanding, we can begin to let go of our grip on the obsession of gaining more and more. We can then begin to enjoy what God has allowed us to borrow from Him. You see, when you live a cluttered life, you get little pleasure, enjoyment out of things for very long. It doesn't last long at all. Go with me, if you would please, to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, please. Look with me, please, at verse number 17. 1 Timothy 6:17. Look at this verse. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. What a powerful verse. So, help me out here to find this cure for the cluttered life. Number one, the letter A, I need what? Solitude. Letter B, I need stewardship to remember. This doesn't even belong to me. This is God's. God's allowed me to have it. I'm a steward of this. And I want to honor God in it and through it. Letter C, the third thing. Cure for the cluttered life is service. We must learn, my friends, to give of ourselves to serve others and God with our lives. I mean, that's what we're here for. You know, it'd be nice when you're saved if you got out of this wicked world immediately. But the Lord Jesus Christ left us in the world, not that we would let the world become in us, be worldlike, but that we would be a light reflecting the true light, the Lord Jesus Christ, that others in this lost world may see Christ, have the opportunity to have what we have, salvation, be born again. We're left here, my friends, as missionaries, as stewards of all that He has given us physically and spiritually. And that's another whole avenue as well. A person who lives a cluttered life loses out in all their spiritual life. They lose out on all the influences that they could have over their children, over their family, over their family members, over their neighbors. They lose their influence because the cluttered life has taken it away. Service. The third thing, letter C, is service. Our major purpose in life is not to accumulate. Didn't know that, did we? Amen? It's not to accumulate, but to focus ourself and the world's attention as much as we can on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're left here to do. To focus our attention and as much of the world as we can get to listen to us to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Life can become cluttered and we know it. Everybody here has or will experience it at one time or another. So what might be a proper conclusion to a message like this? Well, we started out with the words of Solomon, and I want to end with them in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, please. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, verses 13 and 14. I'll give you a moment to get there. I hear that wonderful music of pages turning. It's a wonderful sound. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. That's the conclusion of the whole matter, folks. Let's just serve God. If I'm going to serve God, He's got to be first place in my life. You know, the Word of God talks about a judgment, the judgment day, and it talks about our works will be tested by fire, whether it be wood, hay, or stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. And let me tell you, if you live a cluttered life, if you live a cluttered life, when the judgment is done and the fire is done, all that you'll have left is ashes. Let's stand together, please.